Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for joining us today at Abounding Grace. We have the great privilege on these Friday sessions to discuss and know what we believe and why, which is some of the most important thing, one of the most important issues a Christian could take up. Today, we've talked a little bit in the past. Wes and I, Pastor Wes Bradenhoff, is here again from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. We've talked about a Christless Christianity. We've talked about a suppression of doctrine. And we want to encourage you. The great goal here is to encourage you in growth, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that message ultimately is positive to you.
Absolutely.
Even though we're exposing things that go on, we want you to know that this is all for the goal that you would grow. And we have hearts about that, that you would know the truth of the gospel and why. Why do we believe this? Why is it so important to believe this? Today we're taking up the subject of what we call, and it's a countercultural sort of statement, the foolishness of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why would we call it foolish, Wes?
Because it doesn't fit with the expectations of the world. It doesn't fit with the priorities that our world holds. It doesn't fit with the things that our world holds as being desirable and worthy, right? The world around us values glory. Mm-hmm. The world around us values, you know, being out in the center, having a big victory day parade, if you want, you know, with all kinds of lights and
right.
sound and whatever else. But the gospel is about a man who was crucified, a man who, you know, if in today's terms, was put in an electric chair.
Yeah, we one of the things you see throughout the Old Testament is the Lord constantly putting Israel in place, so to speak, you know, or Gideon's army, reducing it to 300 or, mm-hmm. or taking it down. So why? So that the glory would not be to man, but to God. In these foolish means of what we would think are foolish and powerless, God chooses to display his power through so that the glory would go to him. And what do we do? I mean, who would set this up? Who would set up the preaching of a gospel, a preaching of a man, splinters and all, shed, that God himself crucified, delivered up his son, and the message to us is, you don't deserve it.
Mm-hmm.
You are wretched, you're blind, you're cold, you're naked, you've all turned aside, mm-hmm. and yet here's a bloody Savior and all, who I delivered, put your sins on his back. He wants that message preached, and yet that's the power to save.
Right. And that is foolishness to people today, mm-hmm. because, you know, to be quite honest, the American ideal, which also to some extent is a Canadian ideal, is the self-made man. You know, that we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, so that we can do it. You know, Pelagianism is the heresy of the natural man. It's the heresy to which we're all attracted. And Pelagianism says that, you know, God does his part and man does his part, and the end result is salvation. And the gospel says, no, you got it all wrong. Pelagianism is not the way. God does it all, 100%. Christ does it all for you. Fix your eyes on Christ.
You know, that's an interesting, it's a very good point. Grace, and I just always want to say to people, grace means grace.
Yeah.
Just think about that, you know. We don't seem to get that today.
No. It's receiving the opposite of what you deserve.
Right.
You know, we deserve eternal wrath. We deserve judgment. We deserve hell eternally. You know, we'd never be able to pay for our sins with an eternity in hell. But God comes down to us, graciously comes down to us and says, I'm going to give you the opposite of what you deserve. I'm going to give you blessings. I'm not just going to set you on neutral ground so you can start over again, so you can try and climb your way back up to me. He says, no, I'm going to take you to myself. I'm going to make you a part of my family. I'm going to give you the blessings of being my children, an inheritance. You know, we have it all in Christ.
You mentioned this ascending and descending.
Right.
I was thinking of Romans 10. And you know what? Paul presents the great truth of justification by faith alone. And then in Romans 10:4, he says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is your righteousness. Christ for righteousness. It's a beautiful passage. Then he goes on to have this very obscure statement of Deuteronomy 30, giving the principle of law. But in verse 6, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach.
Right.
Now, what's so powerful about that is the apostle saying, and in Deuteronomy 30, Moses was saying, look, the commandment, you don't need to go get over in the river. You don't need to go into heaven to get it. It's in your hearts and your mouth. What Paul is saying to us as he's applying it is that Christ is near to us in our hearts and our mouth. We don't have to pull him down from heaven. We don't have to try to attain to that righteousness ourselves. God brings it to us in the preaching of the gospel.
Right. We can't, I think the point there in Romans 10 is that we can't manipulate God.
Exactly.
You know, and I when I read this passage of Romans 10, I can't help but think of the Jacob's ladder, so to speak.
Right.
It wasn't really a ladder. It was more like a ziggurat, I think, like a stairway, a cone-shaped tower. And, you know, if you read that passage in Genesis where God appears to Jacob at Bethel, you know, God comes down to Jacob. Jacob doesn't do anything. God comes down to Jacob with his promises. God is not manipulated by Jacob. God is the one who graciously condescends to that patriarch. And that's a picture of the gospel. And that's exactly what we see happening here in Romans 10 as well. Christ is not to be manipulated. He comes to us and he lavishes us with his grace and with his blessings.
But we're not always satisfied with that. I'm speaking in general terms because mm-hmm. we see Israel's history. Were they satisfied? The Lord had delivered them, brought them out of Egypt. And yet they're trying to bring God to them. How so? With a golden calf.
Yeah.
Here is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. They hold up a calf that they created. So they wanted to bring God to them their way, and they hadn't realized God had come to them
mm-hmm.
and delivered them and led them in that pillar of cloud. And that's essentially what Romans is telling us, that the foolishness of the way, at least to the world, and so to speak, that is foolish, God has chosen is to send a preacher to you to preach the message of a bloody savior, and that is how he saves.
Yeah. Well, you think of, 1 Corinthians 1:22, for Jews request a sign and Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. Right? The gospel of Christ crucified is something that people are going to stumble over when it's preached in its simplicity.
You know, in Romans 10, the apostle asks a very sad question, but then he makes a statement, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. And then he quotes Isaiah, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report?
Right.
You know where that comes, Wes? That comes right out of Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
You know what the report is? You know, when you ask the question, what's the report? Isaiah 53 says, who's believed our report? And this is the language of the report. There's no beauty that we should desire him. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we, as it were, hid our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. And what's God's description of us? And we, like sheep, have gone astray.
Yeah.
We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The report is, you all have defected, turned away, sinned terribly, and I delivered up my son and put him to death. That's the report. That's the report that people aren't very excited about today, sadly.
Yeah, but that's the report that contains the good news, Chris. Right. I mean, it's all here in that little three-letter word in all these verses here. Our griefs. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That's where the good news is. And if we give that up, we've lost everything.
But the good news, Wes, is only good when we see how bad things really are.
Absolutely.
And that's the peril today. When you talk about foolish, the minister has the great assignment. He has a burden from the Lord to proclaim the sin of man. Mm-hmm. And how far he has fallen, and how all have fallen short of the grace of God. Now, if a minister does that today, you know, I think one of the things I want to say here is I heard somebody tell me that their ministers don't preach on wrath. They delegate the whole thing out to small groups. They don't talk about sin. So the small group ministry has taken on the bad stuff today. You cannot preach good news without first exposing the horrid position of man before God under his wrath for sin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and Scripture does that regularly, and I think we're told in Scripture as preachers to preach the whole counsel of God, and if we're leaving those things out because they're offensive, shame be on us, I say.
Yeah, if you're comfortable in your seat on a Lord's Day, I would really question whether you're truly hearing the gospel.
Yeah, and you know, if we look at one last thing here, we look at the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, Mark 6, he was preaching in Nazareth, and you know, people were offended at him. He was a scandalous person. He gave scandal to the people of Israel.
The cross is an offense to sinners.
It's a scandal.
Because you know what it says? You can do nothing.
Yeah.
And that's hard. We are offended by grace as sinners.
Yeah.
And yet, it's the only news and the greatest news that God could ever give that we proclaim at the Linden United Reformed Church and the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. Wes, tell us a little bit about when you worship and...
Sure. Yeah, we worship on Sundays at 9:30 and 2 o'clock, and we're located on 52nd Avenue in Langley, just to the east of the airport. People can find more information about us at our website, www.langleycanrc.org. Langleycanrc.org.
Well, we're so thankful to bring these to you, and thank you for joining us and tuning in today to another edition of Abounding Grace. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Opening up the Word of God that we might let its light shine into our hearts and minds. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We know your time is valuable, and to carve out a few minutes for us means a great deal to us. We thank you for spending time with us. If you would like to contact us here at Abounding Grace, we'd love to hear from you. Your letters of encouragement, your questions, comments, prayer requests, that would mean so much to us to know that you're partnering with us in a prayerful manner such as this. Our desire is to see you grow in Christ, and that's what we've made ourselves available for. 360-318-0429 is our phone number. Again, 360-318-0429. You can also find us on the web, lindenurc.com. A lot of information there about who we are and what we believe. In fact, if you would like to join us for worship, we'll have a map there for you. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. Sunday services, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. Again, the directions can be found at lindenurc.com or give us a call, 360-318-0429. As always, it's a real privilege and a pleasure spending time with you here in God's Word, and we look forward to the next opportunity that we'll have to spend time with you once again in God's Word. Until then, God bless.